When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich laird.
What am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Harding, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away, and will bring you back safely. What if the clouds and oceans switched spots, and every time you looked up, you would see waves being pulled by the moon? Large waves, at the top of their crest, would dip close to the ground, and foam would splash onto the tops of trees. The rain would taste of salt. Salt crystals would form across the tips of leaves and on the grass, leaving shimmer on lawns. Airplanes would use their tails like rudders to navigate across turbulent skies and clouds made of oceans. The first teller for this episode is Sue Searing, a teller of both folk and fairy tale and personal tales. Her personal life mission is to connect people with sources of information and wisdom, and to have fun while doing it. She practices and celebrates oral storytelling as an ancient, effective, and inspiring way to foster these connections. This is a story that she recorded especially for the podcast. This is Sue Searing telling The Wood Maiden.
I'm Sue Searing, and this is my adaptation of The Wood Maiden, published in Czechoslovak Fairy Tales, compiled by Parker Fillmore in 1919. Once upon a time, a girl named Batushka lived with her mother at the edge of the woods. Now, they were very poor, but they did have a field planted with flax and two milk goats. And it was Batushka's job to tend those goats and to spin the flax into linen yarn. One fine morning at the height of summer, she led the goats down a path through the woods to a wide open meadow. And there she sat spinning as she watched them graze. Now, you may wonder how a small girl dragged a spinning wheel all the way through the woods. Well, she didn't. She used a much more ancient portable tool, a drop spindle. It looked a bit like a thick wooden coaster with a dowel through the middle, or a child's toy top. And when Batushka tied some flax to the dowel and then let it fall, that spindle twisted and turned, and it twisted the fiber into a sturdy yarn and wound it around the dowel. So Batushka spun all morning, and then when the sun was directly overhead, she set her work aside, ate a little bread and cheese that her mother had packed, and then stood up, wiped the crumbs off of her skirt, stretched her arms, and did a little dance just to loosen up her muscles. She was about to sit down and spin some more when she heard, "Batushka, do you like to dance?" And she looked up to see a beautiful woman who seemed to have materialized out of the thin air. She had long, wavy hair and sparkling eyes and rosebud lips. And she was dressed in a beautiful white flowing gown and a crown of wild flowers. "Batushka, I asked you a question. Do you like to dance?" Oh, lady, yes, I do. I love to dance." "Then come, dance with me. I'll teach you the steps." And the woman took Batushka's hand and put her arm around her waist, and away they went, dancing and skipping over the meadow. And around them, music began to swell as the robins and the linnets and the thrushes and the wrens and all of the birds blended their songs into one harmony, and the insects began to buzz and hum in three-quarter time. And as they danced over that meadow, Batushka forgot all about her goats, and she forgot all about her spinning. She lost complete track of everything except the beautiful woman and the sensation of dancing, until suddenly the music stopped. The woman let her go, stepped back, and vanished. And then Batushka noticed that the sun was slipping behind the trees. She had danced away the entire afternoon. Then she looked down and she saw her unspun flax and half-full spindle lying on the ground where she dropped them. Oh, no! What am I going to tell Mother? She didn't want to get a scolding. She didn't want to disappoint her mother. Well, she rounded up the goats and began trudging back down the path. But on the way, she had a hopeful thought. She remembered that her mother didn't wind the yarn into skeins every single day. She'd let it pile up for a day or two. And maybe, if Batushka hid her unfinished work, she could work twice as fast the next day and finish it, and her mother would never know the difference. And that's what she did. And she didn't tell her mother about the woman and the dancing. The next morning, Batushka hurried back to the meadow, shooing the goats along the path, and she spun furiously all morning, singing quick, lively songs to herself to make herself work faster. When the sun was overhead, she set it aside and gobbled up her lunch quickly and was about to begin spinning when she heard, "Batushka, come and dance." "Oh, lady, I can't. I've got to finish my work today." "Oh, Batushka, don't fret. We'll get your spinning done. Come." And Batushka couldn't resist. The woman took her hand and put her arm around her, and off they went, dancing back and forth over the meadow while the sound of the birds and the insects rose around them. It felt like they were flying. And Batushka forgot about her goats, and she forgot about her spinning. She forgot about everything until the music stopped, and once again she saw that the sun was beginning to set, and she burst into tears. "Batushka, Batushka, whatever is the matter?" "I did it again. I didn't get my spinning done." "Oh, I told you not to worry about that." And with that, the woman grabbed up the flax, zip, 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 and handed a very full spindle back to the girl. "Just remember," she said, "wind that yarn and grumble not." Batushka repeated, "Wind the yarn and grumble not." But before she had finished saying that, the woman was gone. Well, Batushka put that full spindle in her basket and began to skip back down the path toward home. But when she got there, her mother was standing in the yard, hands on hips. "Batushka, have you become lazy? I went to reel that yarn you brought yesterday, and it wasn't there. Are you neglecting your chores?" "Oh, Mother, well, I was kind of distracted yesterday, but look, I made up for it." And she shoved that very full spindle at her mother and ran into the house. And she didn't tell her mother about the woman or the dancing. But the next morning, Batushka couldn't wait to get back to the meadow. She sat and spun and sang to herself all morning, just counting the minutes until the sun was overhead. And when the woman appeared, she didn't even have to ask. Batushka leaned into her embrace, and away they went as the music swelled around them and filled the meadow and filled Batushka's world. And she forgot all about her goats, and she forgot about her spinning. And once again, she danced the whole afternoon without realizing it. And when the music stopped and she saw the setting sun, she began once again to cry. "Oh, Batushka, this is getting tiresome. I will give you something that is worth more than any yarn." And the woman grabbed Batushka's basket and vanished. But in less time than it takes to breathe a single breath, she came back and handed the basket to Batushka, its contents now covered with a cloth. "Just remember, don't look inside until you're home." And then the woman disappeared. Well, Batushka made it halfway down that path with her goats on the way home before her curiosity got the better of her. "Well, she said not to look inside. What if I felt inside?" And she reached her hand under the cloth and what? She pulled out a handful of leaves? Dead leaves? That's what she gave me? Oh, she threw those leaves on the ground. She was about to dump the whole basket over when she thought, "Well, she tricked me, but I can line the goat's stall with these." And she stomped on home. And once again, her mother was waiting in the yard, this time looking very agitated. "Batushka, my daughter, what is going on?" "Oh, mother, what do you mean?" "Well, that yarn you brought home yesterday, I went to wind it into skeins, and I wound one skein, and the spindle was just as full as when I started. I wound a second skein, and the spindle stayed just as full, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth, and the spindle was so full. I began to think I would never finish my work today, and I said, 'What devil spun this?' And all of the yarn, all of it, disappeared. What is going on?" Well, then Batushka had to tell her mother everything. And her mother said, "Oh, my daughter, you danced with the wood maiden. At midsummer, every year she comes out of the forest and chooses a child to dance with. Well, I've never met her, but I have heard the stories. If she chooses a little boy, she might dance him to death. But they say, sometimes she takes a liking to a little girl, and she gives her rich presents and treasure. Well, all she ever gave me was some dead leaves." "Oh, well, maybe there's something hidden under the leaves." Batushka ran and got the basket and brought it back and pulled back the cloth. All of the leaves had turned to solid gold. Even though she'd thrown some away, there was enough gold for her mother to buy a prosperous farm. And Batushka never had to tend the goats or spin again. She lived happily ever after. And every summer, even when she was old, even when she had children and then grandchildren of her own, she would slip away from the family. She would take a basket with some flax and a spindle and a little food. She'd walk down that long path through the woods to the open meadow. And she would sit under the morning sun, spin and sing to herself, until the sun was right overhead. Then she would set aside her work and wait.
Today's fairy tale sponsor is Lupine Electrolysis Services. Do you find you're too embarrassed to go out into public because of excess hair? Have you tried all the over-the-counter waxes, creams, and razors and found nothing has worked, or the problem returns with a vengeance, especially during the full moon? Come to Lupine Electrolysis Services. The quality of our patented process will blow you away. You'll find yourself squealing with delight at your new image. Lupine Electrolysis Services. We'll get rid of the hairs on your chinny chin chin. This podcast is also brought to you by Simon Brooks' podcast, Conversations with Storytellers. If you're interested in not only the stories, but the storytellers, who are the keepers of the tales, you might want to check out Simon's podcast. He's collecting conversations with those storytellers who are the elders of the community, asking what draws them to the traditional tales, what kind of background each teller came from, and how that influenced their work. Sometimes deep, often fun, always interesting, Conversations with Storytellers will bring you closer to those who know the stories you hear. What if clouds and oceans switched spots? And on hot days we would wade through clouds nestled in hollows. Rivers of clouds would flow through forests and the fish would be so light and effervescent they could swim with the currents. Airships skimming across rolling clouds bringing goods from shore to shore would speak of lightning leaping up into the sky as the storms thundered below. If the clouds were the ocean, we would be able to walk down to the ocean floor, splash in freshwater puddles that formed far away from the salted sky. What if? The second teller for this episode is Cindy Rivka Marshall, a multicultural and Jewish storyteller who focuses on stories with universal lessons that resonate with her sense of wonder. She teaches storytelling, communication, interviewing and listening skills, and story-based approaches to teaching. This is a story from her CD, By the River, Women's Voices in Jewish Stories, and is the tale, A Garment for the Moon.
It was the day before Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of a new month, when the moon is dark in the sky. The people gathered in the synagogue on Shabbat and recited the blessing of the new month, praying for a month of peace and healing. Later that evening, as they stood outdoors, the first stars were appearing, and the people were amazed to overhear this conversation between the moon and the sun. "Will you look at all those people gazing up at the sky? It's an honor that they measure their months by my light. But they have no idea how cold I am up here in the night sky. Oh, moon, a little cool air sounds awfully good to me. I'm always so hot." "Yes, I appear now and then in the day sky, just to warm up. But, sun, you never visit me at night, so you just can't imagine. I'm shivering up here." "Oh, moon, I'm sorry to hear you are so cold. Listen, I'm not the one who decided who should be where in the sky. God put us here and made me the greater light. Nothing I can do about that." "Oh, sun, let's not start that old feud again." "Yes, well, I must say, though, moon, it is too bad you're feeling cold. Do you see the people down there? They're wearing clothing to keep warm. Why don't you put something on already? Go get a sweater, a coat, a blanket." "But, son, I don't have a thing to wear." "Well, there are a lot of skilled tailors in the land below. Maybe in time for the next new moon, they could make something for you to wear to keep you warm." "Oh, what an idea. I hope they will." Well, the very next morning, the tailors all got together and talked about it. "Did you hear that? Skilled tailors in the land below. That's us. Not your usual cutting and stitching job, I must say, but not your usual customer either. What, we don't have enough work to do already? Now we're taking orders from the sun? The problem is, how would we measure? The moon is forever changing size." The tailors concluded there was no way to do it, and looking skyward, they shook their heads and shrugged apologetically. That night was Rosh Chodesh, the night of the new moon. As they did every month, the women gathered to participate in a ritual all their own, and this gave them a special relationship to Levana, the moon.
Levana,
There was a seamstress among them, named Liba, who began talking to the other seamstresses. "Why didn't the sun ask us to make clothing for the moon? If the tailors won't do it, I think we should." Her friends argued, "I think we should too, but I don't know how." "Yeah, what material would we use to make such clothing?" "We know how to make clothing for people, but the tailors are right. There's no way to make clothing for the moon." But Liba did not give up so easily. "I want to help the moon feel better. If she is too cold, then something is not right in the world. It's up to us to help her. It seems to me that the moon is like the Jewish people, except we have the Torah to protect us through the winters of our exile. But the moon needs a garment to keep warm. I believe that if I search, I could find a way to make clothing for the moon." Liba's friends, the seamstresses who worked in her shop, were impressed by her determination, and they assured her that if she found some kind of material that could somehow grow larger and smaller to fit any size, they would help her make a garment for the moon. When the tailors heard this, they said, "We think it's impossible, but go ahead. Let's see what you can do." The next day after work, Liba went walking out into the hills and came upon a farm where the sheep were being shorn and the wool was being spun into yarn. Liba thought, "If I wove that yarn very loosely, it would stretch into a big blanket." She worked on it that evening and then brought it back to the other seamstresses in her shop. At first, there was excitement. They said, "Yes, look how it stretches, but would it get small enough?" Liba said, "If you wash wool in hot water, it shrinks." She tried it, and sure enough, the blanket became much smaller. Her friend said, "Well, that's good, but what about when the moon gets big again?" They pulled on either side, but the shrunken blanket did not grow any larger. That idea was not going to work. The day after that, Liba finished her work early and went walking down by the sea. She watched as the fishermen were tying knots in rope to make nets. When they cast out the nets on the water, the nets stretched out large. As they pulled them back in again, the nets looked smaller. Liba went over and asked a fisherman, "Could I borrow one of your nets? I'd like to show it to my friends." He agreed, and so she brought it back to the shop. The seamstresses went outdoors and stood in a big circle holding the net. "Yes, yes, see how it stretches very large." And then when they walked towards each other, the net grew smaller. But it was so heavy, they said, "How could we ever lift this up and toss it high enough into the sky to give it to the moon?" They looked sadly at Liba, and she said, "I know, this isn't going to work either." Several days went by, and Liba sat in her shop and sewed clothing and did not have any more ideas about how to solve this problem. One evening, after she put her work down, she walked outside. On the horizon, she could see a full moon, swollen and orange, rising in the sky. Without even thinking about where she was going, she walked towards the moon, and at the edge of town, she kept walking into the woods. It was darker under the trees, and Liba slowed down as she stepped through the undergrowth. Then she noticed a flicker of light dancing through the trees, and she followed it until she came to a clearing. There she saw a woman of breathtaking beauty wearing a white dress. As Liba watched, she saw the hem of the woman's dress catch on a rock and tear. "Oh, the royal gown! This has never happened before! It's unraveling!" "The royal gown?" Liba gasped. Who are you?
I am the princess. Who are you?
My name is Liba. I live in the village. I know how to sew. Do you want me to help you fix your dress?
Oh, I don't think a needle and thread will fix this. Here, take a look.
The princess held out the hem of her dress, and Liba took it carefully in her hands. She pulled a loose thread on the hem, and it unraveled and seemed to dissolve into thin air. This was no ordinary fabric. It seemed to glow as if made of light. Just at that moment, the moon rose in the sky, illuminating the clearing in the woods. With eyes closed, the princess raised her face to the full moon. The moonbeam came streaming down and touched the gown. Liba watched in wonder as the fabric glowed even brighter. As Liba held out the end of the gown, the princess turned, and together they held all the surfaces of the gown in the moonlight. It seemed like the gown was growing, that the fabric was being repaired by the moonlight. They turned it and turned it again, and the gown was whole.
Liba, you helped me repair the royal gown. Oh, you have helped to repair the world.
A bit of light caught Liba's eye. There was a scrap of fabric from the gown still stuck on the rock. She picked it up and held it in the moonbeam, and it too began to grow. Liba saw that she could shape the fabric to be larger or smaller around her hand. Can I have this? I believe this is just what I have been looking for.
Yes, of course, the princess agreed, and then Liba asked, would you hold this end?
And once more, the two women held the fabric from the gown in the moonbeam, and it grew and grew into a large cloth. With a sigh, Liba closed her eyes, thinking, I can use this to make a garment for the moon. The next thing Liba knew, she was back home. Opening her eyes, and it was morning. She had a moment of confusion, thinking it had only been a dream. But then, looking down, she saw the glowing material in her hands. She took it right away to show her friends at the shop. The seamstresses all exclaimed, it's so light! And see how it grows larger and gets smaller? By the time of the next new moon, the garment was ready. A group of women gathered under the stars for Rosh Chodesh.
Levana.
As the women sang, Liba thought she glimpsed the princess once again. And then she understood. The princess was the Shekhinah, the feminine aspect of God. The faces of the women glowed as if reflecting the light of the royal gown. Surely the princess was present among them. Then Liba and her friends, the seamstresses, stood in a circle, and they stretched out the clothing they had made to keep the moon warm. And they began to circle and spin around. Lifting the cloth high above their heads, they offered this garment up to the moon. And she tried it on. She was just a tiny sliver, but it fit her perfectly. The tailors were a little jealous, but impressed, too. Huh, how do you like that? They found a way to do it. Well, what do you know? The moon does look happier, you've got to admit. The sun took one look and couldn't help exclaiming, Moon, I must say, You look marvelous. It's you. Thank you, son. It was an excellent suggestion. And those women did come through for me. I'm grateful they believed it was possible. With a little help from Shekhinah. All through that month, through each phase of the moon, the women watched. The moon waxed large and full, and then waned to a small crescent again. But each night, her clothing fit her perfectly. To this day, the moon wears this garment. She is no longer cold in the night sky. She smiles down at the people below, wearing her garment with pride and joy. For after all, it was fashioned out of her own light.
Thank you for listening to the Story Story Podcast. Show the love. Find Sue Searing and Cindy Ripka Marshall on the internet. Tell them you heard them on the podcast and now want to hear them tell more stories. You can connect with the podcast on Facebook or Instagram at Story Story Podcast or Rachel Ann Harding. The beautiful brains behind the fairy tale sponsor is Christina Vincent. The inspiration for the true fairy tale was a story seed from Laura Packer. You can find her lovely story and writing prompts by looking her up on social media. You can see the fairy tale sponsor ads on the Story Story Podcast Instagram and Facebook page. While you're there, let me know the favorite story you have heard or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you'll hear them here soon. This podcast is made possible by patrons like you. Consider becoming a patron or joining the mailing list to get podcast goodies or writing a review on iTunes, which helps other story lovers find and enjoy the show. You'll hear more stories next week, but until then, live happily ever after.
Mary-Kate opened up the door, and there, on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs so that he can catch the flea, the fly, and the moth that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day, when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still see the rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music from the royal court.